1 Samuel 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul said to the Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "I regret that I have made Saul a king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. And it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest that we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak." And Samuel said, "Is it not true that you were little in your own eyes, that you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me. And I have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the fat than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and listen to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." Then he said, "I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came to him cheerfully, and Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Amen. Such a sad ending in terms of Samuel's relationship with Saul. Remember, going back way to the beginning, when Samuel comes into prominence, is now the establishment of king, priest, and prophet is going to begin to rule Israel. We see that this great experiment didn't work, And not necessarily the, in this case, the prophet was holy and blameless. The king had a lot of issues. And we're going to talk about these issues as we go on. So the Lord, apparently during this time, so many years have passed now since Saul becomes king. And it seems that Saul basically did whatever he wanted to do. He could go out and basically had quite a bit of free reign in terms of wars, fighting, battles, all that kind of stuff. But now the word of the Lord comes to Samuel and says, I have a job for you. We're going to now take care of the Amalekites. The Amalekites, if you remember, they're the ones that caused a lot of trouble to the Israelites when they wanted to pass through and they said no, you know, and all these things. So they had to go all the way around. And I mean, not just that scene itself, but they were the fierce enemies of Israel from that day forward. And even before then. And so so God says, I'm going to take care of Amalek once and for all. And he gives him an order that you're supposed to wipe everything out. Samuel, or Saul, does that. He goes and he defeats the Amalekites, which is a good thing. But he didn't fully follow the Lord. This is what typically is partial obedience. He obeyed partially what God asked him to do, but notice in Saul's mind that was complete obedience, and we do this a lot in our life as well. We feel like, well, I obeyed part of it, and so we kind of take ourselves off the hook. So I obeyed part of it, so I obeyed the Lord. Now, in God's point of view, you obeyed part of it, you disobeyed the Lord. You know what I see? Like for one, the cup is half full; the other one's the cup is half empty. And so, obviously, whose opinion is righteous? It's God's opinion, obviously. And so he destroyed all the people, he destroyed all these things, and this is verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, spared the king, number one, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings of the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now here's the question that I offer to you. Who decides what is good and what is worthless? Ultimately, who is the decider of those things? So, in other words, in this regard, Saul and the people, they set themselves up to be God in essence. They're the ones that adjudicated and basically said, okay, you're good. No, you're bad. I mean, even the sheep. So, you're good. That sheep, that's bad. And this is not good. And this is not bad. And they took over God's position in that regard. I mean, Jeremiah, you know, I mean, hundreds of years later on, he'll write how deceitful the heart is. He says, the heart is utterly deceitful and totally wicked. In other words, we don't, as human beings, we don't have the capacity to make that kind of judgment because our heart is so deceitful in this way. But they decide, so the people decide, Saul decides, well, this guy's good, so not the king must be good. Everyone else we took care of. This sheep is good, this oxen is no good, and they make a decision in that way. And so the word of the Lord now comes to Samuel because he is a prophet, and the Lord says, I regret that I've made Saul king, and he has turned back from following me, and he's not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night long. This, by the way, when you see read through the narrative, this was so grieving to Samuel. I mean, he was so taken over by this. And we'll read at the end of it, he doesn't even see Saul until his death. And you can see how this really tore Samuel up, you know, being the prophet, you know, kind of not co-rulership, but is there to help the king to rule. And so he is so distressed, but you can see the characteristic of God, the heart of God through this, and he regrets. God is very, very sad, obviously, when you look at this. Our God is full of emotion. That's why we're full of emotion. That's why we don't need to be afraid of our emotions in that way. And God gets sad, he grieves. If you remember in Genesis, he grieved over making man because every thought, everything that they did was sinful. And so we see that the emotions of God at work here, and he's grieved over this son of his, Saul, this king. And so Samuel goes out to meet with him in the morning to confront Saul. And Saul, they said Saul came to Carmel, and look what he did. Now you know, what is the deep motivation inside of Saul? It says there in verse 12 that he came to Carmel. Remember, Carmel was a very, very important hotspot for the Israelites, particularly for God and his rulership. And so he comes to Carmel, and behold, he sets up a monument for himself. I mean, he sets up a place of worship for himself, a monument for himself. Now you know what's driving Saul behind the scenes of all this. Why he acts in this way, why he does this, why he does that. When it comes down to it, it's really about himself. He sets up a monument for himself. And then he turns and goes down to Gilgal, and he meets Samuel in that place. And then Saul comes to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. So he feels like he is totally righteous. That's exactly what happens when we're sin. We're totally blinded to the error of our ways. We're totally out of touch. Even with God. And we think, hey, you know, he sets up this monument, so you know his mind is totally out somewhere else. The prophet comes and he greets him. Blessed are you of the Lord. I did everything that you asked me to do. This is scary. This is really scary. And it's not unlike things that we see in the world right now. You know, we have, people, and Christians have done this in the past as well. We have something called the Crusades and whatnot. But particularly right now, the Muslim world, and even the Buddhist world in places like Bangladesh, and, you know, are killing people I can't say the Buddhists because they don't believe in God, you know, but the Muslims are killing people, and they're thinking that they're doing this righteously. Right? I mean, it's a scary, scary thing. I mean, I know Christians that are just so full of pride in their life, and they're hurting people and saying things and doing stuff, and they feel like they're so righteous for doing that. And it's this sin of Saul that's really at the groundwork of that. And he comes and he says, blessed are you, I've obeyed the command of the Lord. You know, and Samuel goes, really? Then how come I'm hearing all this sheep and I'm hearing all this oxen? What's going on here? And he says, and he still doesn't know, you know, what's going on. And, you know, he turns and says, oh, you know, yeah, they brought this from the Amalekites. And look how he tries to spiritualize this now. They brought this from the Amalekites, and the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. So he turns this all into a spiritual thing. So, oh yeah, we saved this for you, God. No, they saved it for themselves. You know what I mean? They didn't save it for anybody. I think Saul knows he's in trouble right now when he gets to this point. So he starts making excuses. And then this is the word of the Lord. It says, verse 17, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? This is kind of a good thing that becomes a bad thing. Remember when he first gets called, he said, who am I? You know, I'm the least of you know, my tribe, least of my family, which actually wasn't true because his dad was extremely wealthy. And so, you know, he was not very self-aware of his situation and circumstances. And so he says, you were once little in your own eyes. But see, that's a good place to be. I mean, we can call that humility, right? But when God anoints you as a king, you know what I mean? When God places his hand upon you, then you should step into that role in that regard. And then when you start, and now this humility, in essence, turned into a false humility. And then he continues on. He says, I did all these things. And Saul basically says, look, you know, you did evil. You did not obey the voice of the Lord. And went on this mission. And he says, I did obey the voice of the Lord. Look what happens. But verse 21, but the people took some of the spoil. Now, notice, number one, he didn't obey the voice of the Lord because he kept Agag. I mean, that was up to him. And then, so, number one, he actually didn't obey the Lord. And then, and by the way, This was a common practice in the ancient world. And what they would do is they would take a king and they would spare their life. And not because they were a king or anything, but so they could parade them through and show everyone how glorious they are in battle. And it's, taking their strong and making them a spectacle. Increasing their own prowess over their enemies. And so this was nothing to do with God. This was to do with Saul himself. He wanted to show how powerful he was. And so, but then he blames the people. But the people, they're the ones who did this thing. And I can imagine, Samuel, if I was Samuel, I'd be like, hey, aren't you the king? Are the people the king? Aren't you the king? Right? I mean, aren't you the one that got anointed? Why in the heck are you listening to the people? And that's basically been Saul's problem the whole time. And then there's this beautiful, beautiful prose. I mean, this speech that Samuel, and it says, has the Lord as much delight, this is verse 22, in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, does God want religious things? Is God into pomp and ceremony? Or does he want obedience? And it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, sacrifice does not mean like you give something up, so you sacrifice something. Sacrifice is, they're talking about like cutting the animals, this is their worship. That's what they're talking about there. And so to obey is better than to worship. Interesting, huh? To obey is better than the formality of worship. And Jesus will pick up this theme as well. And he'll turn later on in his Beatitudes and he'll tell people, does a brother have something against you? He says, then leave your offering, leave your worship. Or in other words, don't do that. Go take care of business first and go, obey and then come back and worship the Lord and sacrifice to the Lord. And it's the same idea. God is, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, which is another word for obey, right, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the same as a sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Now, what Samuel is doing, he's making a distinction. This, divination, iniquity, idolatry, that's what the other people did. That's what the Amalekites, the Philistines, and all those guys, that's what they did. That's why, they have sinned against God in that regard. And now he is placing disobedience, rebellion, insubordination under the same. The Israelites would have looked at the Philistines, the Amalekites, all these people, and just looked down upon them in terms of the things that they do as a man. They're not righteous people. And Samuel's saying insubordination, rebellion, disobedience, not obeying the command of the Lord, fully obeying the command of the Lord, saying, son, it's on that same level right now. And so he's rejected you. And then Saul, oh, I have sinned. Now, most commentators would say that there's two kinds of repentance. One kind of repentance, is that, oh man, I really hurt people. I really hurt God. I did all this kind of stuff. And the other kind of repentance is fear of retribution, or like you get caught. You know what I mean? In that way, most scholars believe that Saul is operating in the latter part. It's not a full repentance in his heart. It's more of, oh man, I'm in big trouble. It's like my kids, when they're doing something and they get caught red-handed. And they're pleading, but they're not really sorry. And you know, right? I mean, you're a parent, you know when they're not sorry. But I'll never do it again, But it's basically because they're trying to avert punishment in that regard. And so we as parents, we got to be firm, right? Don't let them fool you, on that, because we primarily deal with the heart in this regard. And this was Saul's problem from the beginning. Verse 24. I feared the people, and I listened to their voice. I was the king, but I feared the people, and I listened to their voice instead of the voice of the Lord, or even the voice of Samuel. I feared the people, and I listen to their voice. I want to suggest to you that probably a lot of issues that we have in our life is because we have a fear of man instead of fear of the Lord. And we listen to the opinions of others instead of the opinions of the Lord. Probably if we just whittle down to the bare bones about issues and things that we go through in our life, it's probably one of those huge things that happen is that fear of man. That we come to that place and we want to please man so much in that regard instead of please God. And then so we fear man in that same regard as we listen to the voice, we listen to those opinions all over the place instead of the opinions of others. And it's true. I mean, I see this in my own life as well as a leader. Very well. I mean, you know, I'll be honest. Even this morning, I know this is a really silly illustration, but yesterday in our staff meeting, I was mentioning, you know, just kind of like after the meeting was over, and we're looking at some baby pictures, and, you know, it was a picture of, you know, one of the kids, and I just made a comment. So, oh, you know, how come he wears such, like, colors that are not very manly, you know, kind of thing. And so just a simple comment. And then someone said, well, you know, you wear pink, you know, P. Sam. I said, I'm a grown man. And so this morning when I was going through picking out my shirts, you know, I was drawn to this pink shirt. But there was a moment there I was thinking, huh, if I wear this, does this mean... I know it's a really silly illustration, but just to give an idea how it plays out in our heads. And so I was there for a couple seconds. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear this. But I was like, no. I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. You know, this is, you know, this is my shirt, my body, and whatnot. But we can see how the opinions of others circle in our minds all the time. I can't imagine, you know, at work, in ministry, right? Even like, you know, sermon preparation at times. And I always have to check myself and, oh, you know, I think people might be offended if I say this. And it's always, well, am I serving God? Of course I'm serving people too, so that's not a good illustration. Let me go back to that. Am I getting my directive from the Lord or am I getting my directive from the people? And it plays out, I can't imagine what happens in your work, you know, in that regard. The fear of man and listening to their voice. This could very well be the root of many of our demise in this regard. And maybe the things that we do, we need to replace those opinions and those people and make sure that God, you know, has that space. And okay, I'm running out of time. But, you know, so he tears a robe and is cut off. And then so the next chapter, we're introduced to David. And that's where we're going from here. So let's close our eyes. This is at the root, the heart of Saul's demise. I fear the people and I listen to their voice. That does not sound like a king. A king should serve the people and listen to God's voice to lead. A good king. A good follower of Jesus fears God and listens to his voice. Think about some of the decisions that you've been making lately. Are you fearing man or are you fearing God? Do you work for the glory of the Lord or do you work to avert punishment? Do you work by setting up your own monuments? You work for yourself or unto the Lord? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let him minister to us as we sing. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would live lives dictated by the voice of the Lord, not the voice of people. That we live in the fear of God and not the fear of man. These are huge, deep-rooted issues in our life. It gets to the core of who we are and how we live our lives. And you can be a person that lives for Him. You can. But you have to just work through all the clutter of our hearts. all the motivations and desires, deep desires inside. And Holy Spirit will help you if you allow Him to. So let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that's battling through illness and cancers and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing word and His love and heart to meet with each of these families. Pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Actually, just as an update, Sophia Liao's father passed away a few weeks ago, but he became a Christian in his last days, so praise God for that. And so Sophia is in Taiwan with funeral arrangements. We can lift her up in prayer, but we can amend that. Pray for our community. They're battling non-cancer related illness. So let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Our mission focus, and let's pray for China, and let's ask God to continue to breathe life into this massive country. Let's pray for our church in Beijing. Thank the Lord for the new facilities and all that God's doing there. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Enoch. Pray for the board and the leaders that would continue to grow the church and in a way that pleases God. Let's lift up the Chung family and ask the Lord to continue to bless and use them. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents and in their, especially in their Bible translation project. Pray for Edie Clark and just lift up all the churches and pray that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask God to bless this group, cover and protect their families, pray for their hearts, who just really love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's pray for wisdom to lead and wisdom for their due diligence as well, and cover the church in that way. Pray for our fellowship ministries. Lift up the men's ministry, the Monday prayer meeting, a Pure Desire group, and the men's fraternity. Pray for the women's ministry, their Monday prayer meeting, their discipleship class. Pray for the young adults, and just really lead Pastor Ken to really develop this ministry. Pray for Springs Love After Marriage course. They had a wonderful long weekend of classes and taking a break for retreat, and so let's pray that everyone would keep up to date with their homework and their studies, and they would really continue to grow in love for one another. Let's pray up. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0. This is, we're at 1.5 here. Let's continue to pray that God open the door for a new building. Also increase resources, and just as a response to that prophetic word, that God would release those benefactors that would help us to get to this place. So let's continue to pray. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Fontana Island, New Conduit. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to come and meet with us in a powerful way. Bless the leaders and the hosts and everyone involved in doing ministry in that evening. That people really meet with God and with one another. Lastly, let's cover our retreat. Let's pray for our speakers, and they should be hopping on flights soon. Let's pray for their strength, and their jet lag would be minimal. Let's pray that God would continue to speak to them in our congregation. Let's pray for our church, that we would come into the retreat with open hearts and hands to receive from the Lord, and just cover all the logistics, you know, the buses, immigration, visas, the hotel itself, and pray for Noah's Ark and the kids. And I know the teachers and staff are working very hard to prepare a great program for the kids, and pray for the worship teams, and just ask God to really just honor this time. Let's pray. Pray. Lord, we thank you. God, thank you for this morning, for your word. God, thank you for just that reminder again, Lord, that God, we ought to live our lives not fearing man, God. God, and not listening to their voice, Lord, but fearing you and listening to your voice. And we just pray over all the areas of our lives, our heart, God, where our motivation is ourselves, God. Our motivation is to please others instead of pleasing you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would deal with those things gently in our lives, God. Bring us into that place of repentance, that place of wholeness, God. And we thank you, Lord. We just want to honor you, God, by giving you all the glory that you deserve today. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.